Okay, let's do this. I want you to take your Bible. You can tell from your handout where to go. If you're sharp, you know each week where to turn and be ready. Exodus chapter number 35. And that's the second book of the Old Testament, page 104. Second book of your Old Testament, Exodus chapter 35. And for those of you who are ambitious, we're actually going to start over in 25. So keep your bookmarker in 35 and go over to Exodus 25. And we're going to actually start in Exodus 25. And here, let me kind of lay out for you what's happening here in your Bible. The tabernacle of God. You ever heard that phrase, the tabernacle of God? The tabernacle was a huge movable tent. Something they could, pick up and move. Huge, though. It was 45 feet long by 15 feet wide, and it was 15 feet high. Now, the nation of Israel has come out of slavery in Egypt. They've come into the wilderness, and God has instructed them to build a tabernacle, this huge movable tent. Well, why? Because it was to be the center of worship. And it was to be the center of revelation from God to the Israelites as they travel through the wilderness. Now, this was a huge undertaking. I mean, they're out in the middle of Nowheresville, all right? And they are trying to build this really ornate, elaborate. It's going to be very nice. When you think of a tent, don't think of a tent you camp in, all right? This is a very humongous, beautiful, ornate dwelling place where God was going to dwell, where God was going to commune with His people, the nation of Israel. So it was a big undertaking. It was going to take a massive amount of material wealth, material resources to build the tabernacle. And again, they couldn't go down to Home Depot, all right? They couldn't go to Lowe's, and get the stuff. They're out in the middle of the wilderness, and so it's going to, obviously it's going to have to come from them. Well, look at Exodus 25 and notice where the materials and the resources would come from. God reveals the plan to Moses. Exodus 25, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. That's what our choir sung about. The name of the song we did was Offering. He said, I want you to bring an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense, oint stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. Notice verse 8. And let them, the people, let them make me a what? A sanctuary. That's what he's defining for you, the tabernacle. It was the sanctuary. Notice the end of the verse 8. That I may dwell among them. Now, back in the Old Testament, God dwelled among Israel in this place called the tabernacle, later the temple. Now, today, does God dwell in buildings? Yes or no? No, where does God take up residence today? Inside the believer, the Christian, okay? Inside us. Those of us who have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the moment we did so, God's Spirit came to live and dwell. The Spirit of Christ, Romans 8 says, came to live and to dwell. The Bible says if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're none of His. So it's not a matter of you're going to work your way to heaven and you're going to try to be a good person and be better than the guy at work and better than your neighbor. It has nothing to do with that. The issue is whether or not God lives inside of you, my friend. Does God live inside of you? Does God's presence live inside of you? Is God's Holy Spirit live inside of you? And the only way to get God's Holy Spirit is to put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment that you rest in the completed and finished work of Christ on the cross for your sins, God's Spirit comes to live inside of you. You become the tabernacle of God. You become the temple of God's Holy Spirit. Well, back here though, they needed a tabernacle. They needed a physical building. The needs for the building project, as we just read, were going to be met by the people of Israel. The people were to give, and as the people gave, then the work of God would be accomplished. Now, did you know this morning the only means that God has for getting His work accomplished on this earth is people? God is committed to using people. See, it's that way today in the church age, the dispensation of grace that we live in. The church, if it's going to function, it's not going to be because of anything other than people. God uses people. If the church is going to function, if the Bible is going to be taught, if the gospel is going to get out to Daytona Beach, and if missionaries are going to be supported and go to the field and all these things, it's going to happen through people. God's people getting behind it. God's people getting involved. God's people faithfully giving. That's how the work of God is accomplished today, is it happens through people just like it did in Moses' day. Now, what I'd like to do this morning is we're going to look into God's Word here in Exodus, and I want us to see exactly how God's work here was accomplished. How did they get this massive undertaking done? How did they get it accomplished? How were they able to achieve this? Which, by the way, they did achieve. They did build the tabernacle. God's glory filled it. And it was a wonderful time. I mean, imagine the victory when this thing was built. God's glory, God's presence came in and filled this building. Imagine the glory. Imagine the excitement of the people. Well, you know what? It happened. And God's work was accomplished. How? That's the question. How was God's work accomplished? Number one, let me give you the first thing in your handout. First of all, the people gave with a right attitude. I want you to look at Exodus 25 again. I hope you're there. You got your Bible open? Say amen. All right. Exodus 25. Look at verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel. Now, here's what I want you to do before I read this. I want all of you in here to pick out a key word. You see, God wanted them, He wanted all those who were there. He wanted them to give with the right attitude. God specified, now listen, God specified the attitude that was to be present in the heart of those who gave to the tabernacle. You see if you can pick out the key word. You ready? Exodus 25, verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. Anybody have a guess on the key word? You got it, Toyota. That's right. Willingly. Willingly. Go ahead and write that in your handout. The key word there is willingly. He said, I want them to bring an offering. And he said, I want them to give it willingly, with his heart. Okay, now, notice with me chapter 35. Will you go over there with me? Chapter 35. And let's notice how Moses reiterates this again, 10 chapters later. Exodus 35, verse 4. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a, what kind of heart? A willing heart. Let him bring it. An offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, and he goes on through here. Now, here it is again. Now, hey, let's see how the people did. Look at chapter 35 and go over to verse 21. Chapter 35, verse 21. And they came. Everyone whose heart stirred him up. Man, I like that. You know, excitable guys like me get excited over verses like that. How about you, Pastor Larry? You get excited over that? Whose heart stirred him up? You know, that's the way you want to read it. It says, and they came. You know, I got to do that to kind of wake you guys up every once in a while, right? And they came, both men and women, And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up. I like that. And everyone whom his spirit made, here it is, what is it? Willing. Whose spirit, notice, made willing. I like that. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle, the congregation, for all his service, for all the holy garments. Look at verse 22. And they came both men and women, as many as were what?
Willing-hearted.
Look down with me at verse 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing. Man, I think God's trying to get something through to us, don't you? To bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Over and over and over we see this. What does it mean to give willingly, church? Well, the word willingly means voluntarily. It means eagerly. I got three boys, 17, 10, and 8. And you know something? I can tell you something about all three of my boys. If they had two pieces of pizza, and if I said to any one of them, can Daddy have one of your pieces of pizza? Now you understand they can all eat five pieces. But let's say they only had two. And if I said to them, can Daddy have one of your two? I know something about my boys. They'd all give it to me. But it wouldn't be willingly. It would not be voluntarily and eagerly, as that word means. Okay? I can tell you something else about all three of my boys while I'm telling on them here. If I said to them at supper time, boys, or if I said to one of them, and I said, could I please have some of that raw broccoli that Mom gave you? All three of them would jump up and go, here, Dad, you can have mine. And they would all give willingly, voluntarily, and eagerly, wouldn't you? Yep. They eat at almost every meal and hate it every meal. And they would give it to me willingly and eagerly. That's what that word means. Now, God wants us to be like, you know, that second. He wants us to come willingly. He wants us to come eagerly. He wants us to come voluntarily. It's interesting. Now, this is kind of neat. God not only knew what the people gave, He knew the attitudes and the motives of their heart when they gave it. What do you think about that? You don't have to answer out loud, all right? What do you think about that? What do you think about that? The fact that God not only knew what they gave, He knew the heart when they gave it. He knew their heart attitude. He knew that they were giving willingly, of a willing heart. So in other words, that means that is this seat saved? Oh, okay, thank you. When we sit here in church, okay, and we're worshiping Him, whether it's through singing, whether it's through prayer, whether it's through giving, God not only sees what I'm doing in my actions, He also sees my what? Yeah. He sees my heart while I'm sitting here. Is that scary? Or is that a blessed truth to you? Did you know that God's very interested in our motivation? Do you know He's very interested in that? Did you know that during Jesus' earthly ministry, to the nation of Israel, He said something very interesting to them that I think has some insight for us that goes right along with this. He said, when you do your alms means your giving. He said, don't sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, Let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Can you imagine if you were sitting in church? Okay? And you're sitting here in church, and the preacher says, it's offering time. And so you're sitting here, you know, Miss Margie, you're sitting here beside this guy. You don't really know him, but he's sitting there beside you. And all of a sudden he says, it's offering time. It's time to receive our offering this morning. And so he gets done praying. He says, in Jesus' name, amen. And then all of a sudden the guy sitting beside you, Miss Margie, goes, everybody watch me. I'm going to give an offering. It's going to be a sight. Y'all watch me. This is going to be something else. The Bible says... that Bible says that's what the hypocrites did. Isn't that funny? They played a trumpet, he said, to announce what they were going to do. We're going to make a big offering here. Y'all need to watch. I'm going to keep that handy. I might use that again here in the message. When somebody goes to sleep, I might use that again. Look in your handout. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. It says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Notice the attitude God says. When we give, we don't do it grudgingly or of necessity. Why? Well, because God loves a certain kind of person, certain kind of giver. What kind of giver does God love? Cheerful giver. To give grudgingly means I give with sadness. I give with grief and sorrow. You know, it's the idea that it just really makes me sad to give. I just do it. I do it grudgingly. I know I'm supposed to do it, but I don't want to do it. And I'm going to just give, you know, out of duty or out of law or out of obligation or so I don't, you know, get embarrassed or whatever. But I'm giving grudgingly, you know, and it means you give with grief. You give with sorrow. It's the idea that, you know, that when the offering plate goes by, we put in our offering, and instead of, whoopee, I get to do this today, and I get to show the Lord and demonstrate to Him that I love Him and I appreciate His grace, you know, and that idea of willingly, you know, the idea of grudgingly or of necessity is the idea of grief and sorrow. We give, but as it goes away, we're like, there it goes. Bye. You know. God sees the heart. He looks right down and looks right into the crevices of our heart, and He sees every single crevice of our heart. God wants His people, it says in your handout, to give willingly out of love for Him. And that's why God didn't tell Moses to use gimmicks to obtain gifts for the tabernacle. There were no door prizes in Exodus. No bingo games. No church raffles. No church suppers. No church rummage sales. No gimmicks. The need was simply laid out before the people, and the people's hearts responded. You know, Christ is our example of giving willingly, isn't He? Christ gave His life on the cross for our sin. But did He give His life grudgingly? Did He give it and say, rotten sinners? Bunch of rotten reprobates is why I got to do this and why I got to go through this pain. No, He gave of His life on the cross for sin, a complete, a final sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. He did it willingly because He chose to go to the cross. He said, I could call legions of angels right now. They'd come and deliver me. In your handout, it's a great passage, John 10, show you the heart of our Savior. Therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Now look at the next phrase. No man what? Yeah, no man, He said, can take my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. He made a free will choice and decision of His own will. He said, I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You know, listen, do you realize how Christ-like it is when we give willingly? Christ gave willingly. And when we give willingly, we're so much like Christ. I mean, listen, when we give of our resources to what God's doing, man, and we do it willingly, we do it out of love, we do it out of grace, not out of law, not out of guilt, not out of pride like with the trumpet, but we just give out of a sincere, willing heart. That's like our Savior. Because He said, you know, no man takes my life, I give it down willingly. I willingly lay it down. It's not the idea, you know, Denise and I, when we give each week, it's not the idea of, well, I'm the pastor and I got to set the example, so here. And I give. That's never been my thought one time. Well, because preachers, you know, there's all kinds of wrong reasons we can give. Well, you know, I guess I'll give, you know, because I know that if I don't, the treasurer is going to see I'm not giving. He may tell the deacons and I may get in trouble. You know what I mean? You know, there's all kinds of wrong motives a preacher can have. You know? But I can honestly tell you, when we give, it's never that way. It's never out of guilt or law or fear. I want you to know we give out of love for our Savior, Jesus Christ. We just love Jesus. And just as Jesus gave willingly, we do the same. And we see that here. Number two, the second thing we see here is that the people gave as God enabled them. Go back to Exodus 35 and look at verse 5, please. Exodus 35 and verse 5. Look at this, please. Exodus 35, verse 5. It says, I like this. Moses said to the people, take ye, notice this phrase, from among you an offering unto the Lord. Did you notice that? Take ye from among you. Now, the people can only give as God had blessed them to give. Look at verse 23. See the same principle. Verse 23, and every man, notice this phrase, with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering, and every man, notice this, with whom was found sheet of wood for any work of the service brought it. Now, notice in verses 22 through 28, it lists all the different things. Verse 22, they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord, and every man with whom was found. We read these verses. Verse 25, all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands, and they brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine. I heard a bunch of you women got up here and did some spinning the other night. Bunch of the women got over here. How many costumes? They made a bunch of costumes, didn't they? For what? Three or four hundred costumes. A bunch of ladies over here. How many was it? How many ladies came? About 65 ladies came to do some spinning. All right. Look at this. Verse 26. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. So it goes through here. Everybody gave what they had. They gave as God enabled them to give. And we see that principle in the church age today. Look in your handout at 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. But now underline this next phrase in your handout. As God hath what? Prospered him. He said, you give as God prospers you. In other words, God doesn't expect us to give what we don't have. Look at the next verse in your handout, 2 Corinthians 8:12. Paul said, for if their first, and he's talking about giving of their material resources, for if there be first a willing mind, there that is again, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. In other words, he says, you give in proportion to how he's blessed you. I give as God prospers me. I don't have to give as God prospers him. Larry doesn't have to give as God prospers Becky. And Becky doesn't have to give as God prospers Al. You see, we don't have to give as God prospers somebody else. He says you give as God has prospered you. And that's why Moses didn't get up and Moses did not say, I want every Israelite in here to bring $1,000 to build the tabernacle. Some of them probably didn't have $1,000. Some of them had silver and gold they could give, and other people had cloth and linen they could give. God says, you give as I've enabled you to give. Because much more important than the amount is the heart and the sacrifice involved. You know that's what God looks at, is the heart and the sacrifice involved. Remember the story about the widow? And the rich man came in and they gave big, big, gigantic offerings. And Jesus, I love that story, you know, there where Jesus is just kind of with his disciples and he's just kind of leaning up against the wall. He's watching all these people giving their offering. And these guys are coming in, putting in big numbers, and Jesus sitting there watching. You know the disciples, they're sitting there watching. They're probably wondering what's going through Jesus' mind. And then all of a sudden this little old widow comes up. She drops in two mites, two little pennies. And Jesus just looks at it all, takes it all in, looks at his disciples, says, you know, she gave more than all them. She gave more than all those rich folks. And you know, the disciples, what? What do you mean she gave more than all them? He says, you see, they all cast in out of their abundance. But he said she gave everything she had. She only put in two pennies, but that's all she had. That was her grocery money and everything else this week. She gave everything. They cast in out of their abundance. You see, we all give as God enabled. It wasn't the amount that impressed Jesus about the widow. It was the sacrifice involved that impressed Jesus. Does that make sense? Say amen. It was the sacrifice involved. And again, Christ is our example, right? Did Christ have a lot of material wealth and possessions when he walked the earth? Yes or no? No. But he did have something very valuable, didn't he? He had a perfect sinless body that he could offer up for sin. And what he had, he gave. Isn't that good? What he had, he gave. Look at the PowerPoint screen. Hebrews, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me, Jesus said. I don't have a bunch of stuff I can offer, but you've given me a body. Then look at the next one. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Look at the next verse, Hebrews 10 and verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Christ didn't have a lot of material wealth. He didn't have possessions. But you know what he did have? A perfect, sinless body that he could offer up for the sins of all mankind. And what he had, he gave on the cross for you and I. You see, you give as God enables you to give. You give as God prospers you. Number three, and the last thing is this, the people gave more than enough. Go to chapter 36. And verse 2, as the gifts started pouring in for the tabernacle, Moses got his builders started on this building project. Verse 2, and Moses called Bezalel and Oholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom and everyone whose heart stirred him up to come into the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings. Every morning the people keep bringing in stuff and they keep taking it to these workers who start building the tabernacle. Something very unusual happened right here at this point. The men stopped working and they came to Moses with a problem. Verse 4, and all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they'd made. They quit working, they left their job, they left their post. And they went to Moses with a problem. Now, if you don't know the story, you may be thinking, well, obviously the problem was they ran out of stuff. If you don't know the story, what would you think the problem would be? Well, they ran out of materials. They ran out of resources, or they ran out of workers, you know, or whatever. But you're thinking there's a deficiency here, so they got to go to Moses, and Moses has got to kind of get the people pumped up again, right? That wasn't the problem. Very unusual problem. Verse 5. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. Moses, you got to get these people to stop giving. We got more than we can use. What a problem to have. Verse 6. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Moses stands up and says, look, folks, enough's enough. This is getting ridiculous. Please stop giving. I don't see this happening much in churches today. Can you imagine me standing up here going, look, folks, enough's enough. Would you quit all this giving? We got more money and we know what to do. We got more money, Brother Dale, and we know how to spend. Quit all this giving. Now, you don't have to ever worry about me doing that. Because, here's why. Let me explain why. We live in a different dispensation today. You see, they were trying to build a tabernacle. Our work is far bigger than what they were doing. They were just trying to build a tabernacle. Our work as the church, the body of Christ, is far bigger. You say, what do you mean? Our work today is to preach the gospel of God's grace to everybody in the world. Look at Colossians 1, 27 and 28. Paul said, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. But now look at the next verse. Whom we preach. Look what Paul's goal was. Warning how many people? Every man. And teaching? Every man. In all wisdom, that we may present? Every man. Perfect in God. Three times he uses the phrase every man. That's our mission right there. That's our goal. That's our great commission right there. That's what we're all about today. Is we're all about preaching and teaching everybody the Word of God and the Gospel of Christ so that we can present every man perfect, spiritually mature in Christ Jesus. And until that happens, we got to keep sending missionaries. We got to keep planting churches. We got to keep starting new ministries. We got to keep doing things like Walk Through Bethlehem. We have to keep reaching out. We have to keep teaching. We have to keep having single mom outreaches. We have to keep training people. We have to keep doing discipleship growth groups. We have to keep doing things like the Bible Institute ministry that we just started. Is there an expense? Sure, there's an expense to the Bible Institute. But we've got to keep doing these things. Why are we building an office building? It's so we can teach God's Word. You say, I thought it was just so you could have a new office. No, no, no. The reason why we're building the office building is so we can get all the offices out of this building. You know what these rooms back here are going to be used for? Teaching the Word of God and getting people rooted and grounded in God's Word. It's the only reason you build a building is to reach people. If you build a building and you're not, in the bottom line, you're not trying to reach anybody, then what's the purpose? The reason why we're building that office building, you see it going up, is to reach people. It's to teach people. And to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's what it's all about. The people gave more than enough, and again, I want to apply this to Christ. Christ gave more than enough on the cross, didn't he? When he died on the cross and he shed his blood, did he shed enough blood to save everybody? Yes or no? John said he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Paul said he gave himself a ransom for all. Will everyone in the world be saved? Yes or no? No, because not everybody will choose to believe. Not everybody will choose to appropriate the sacrifice he made for them to their heart and life. But it's not because it wasn't sufficient. Look at verse 7. It says, "For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it." And notice the next phrase, "and too much." I like that. The stuff was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. The work of God moved forward. The work of God was accomplished. Why? Well, because the people gave willingly. The people gave as God enabled them. And the people gave more than enough. And in your handout it says, when God's people's hearts are right, there'll always be sufficient resources to meet the needs. There'll always be. Do you see how God's work is accomplished? It's accomplished through people. People who have willing hearts, people who give sacrificially through God's enablement, people who realize what I've been teaching you now for the last 3 weeks and trying to get it through all of our heads is that God has blessed me to be a... I was a little weak. God has blessed me, why? To be a blessing. That's why He's blessed me. Not to just build myself up and look like a hot shot and try to have, you know, bigger and better of everything. God's blessed me to be a blessing to what He's doing on this earth. And in your handout, you know what the result of all this is? God's work's able to move forward and be accomplished, and all of this, when God's work moves forward and is accomplished, you know what that results in? Changed lives. And that's what Crossroads is all about. Changed lives. Have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior today? Do you know Him? And if so, if you know Him as your Savior, do you have a willing heart to serve Him? Do you have a willing heart to give? With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed.